today on Compassion Radio.
When I went to Burning Man for the first time, I didn't think I was judgmental. When I went there, I realized he exposed just how judgmental I was and how many prejudices I actually had towards these people. When you sit there in the dust year after year after year and you cry with these people and you hug these people and you hear their stories, you experience the love and the compassion of the Father towards them in a way that you just don't sitting in your living room at home. And that changes you.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Well, we know that God speaks to us through His Word. Sometimes He speaks to us through other people, and sometimes in dreams. Today, Bram connects with Rob and Katie Mazza, a couple who ministers in a variety of ways, including dream interpretation. One of the ways they use their giftings is by making regular trips to the Burning Man Festival in Black Rock, Nevada. This week, they'll be sharing, among other things, the incredible work God is doing in the hearts of many of the young people at that huge and, as some might say, controversial event. Also joining Bram today, a friend of this ministry and co-laborer with the Mazzas, Andrea Barrather. I'm Frank Montenegro. God wants to bless you through this powerful series, so text a friend right now and tell them to listen in and stay right where you are. Here's Bram with part three of this series.
Friends, we're back on Compassion Radio with new friends, the Mazzas. Rob, Katie, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you.
It's time to bring Andrea into this conversation because you're part of the leadership of these teams, and you spent many years actually taking teams down to Burning Man and being, last couple of times, responsible and bearing the weight. You talked about the weightiness of that stole on your shoulders for that time really took a toll on you emotionally and physically and spiritually. It's not a light decision to make to lead a team like that that's going to walk right into the den of lions.
Yes.
But you did.
Yes. I went 10 years. And about a couple years into my experience at Burning Man, God decided to upgrade me into a role that I did not ask for, which He often does. And that was the role of head on-site intercessor. We have a head intercessor that does not go to Burning Man and heads up all the intercession that goes on back home. But up until that time, we had not had a head on-site intercessor. And so God decided He wanted to throw me in there. And I didn't know what I was doing. So I grew a lot. It was a very steep learning curve. Grew a lot throughout the years. And it got pretty intense. And it was a heavy load to carry. But I learned a lot.
I'll bet you did. Tell me something you learned.
Well, I can remember this time of transition that we actually, as a whole camp, came to. And that was, up until then, we were sort of in a defensive posture as far as protecting ourselves from what was out there in Burning Man in the spiritual realm. We would write our scriptures on our little stakes and put them in the ground, and it was more about keeping things out of our camp. What the transition came to is we were challenged by another mentor to shift our view from how the defilements of Burning Man would affect us to, wait a minute, we need to recognize who we are in the kingdom of God and who dwells in us. God in us is bigger than that. And so we shifted our whole paradigm to doing intercession from that viewpoint. And so rather than making lines of defense to keep things out, we decided to release our light further out. And so we stopped putting scriptures, stakes in the ground and doing that, but rather to be intentional about knowing who we are, how far our light could reach beyond the boundaries of our camp. That brought a whole shift in how we looked at things.
The result was we always had a degree of popularity. You know, we would have 50 people standing outside our encounter tent, which is like 90 feet long by 12 feet wide or bigger. It's just huge, huge army tent. And then we have a geodesic dome. We have, as a chill space, giveaway free espresso. We had a crowd problem, which is a good thing. I mean, we'd have a waiting room inside where we did encounters for accommodated 17 people. We'd have 12 encounter groups that could take care of them. But word of mouth, everything began to come. But I want to hitchhike on that word about, instead of being defensive, it was like, expand your tent. And our tent pegs maybe were couched in words of, we have light to spread, we have love to spread, we have spirit to spread, we have life. And then there's also an internal thing that we'd been working on, and we do this in training of, listen, let's change our minds about who God is in us. You know, I'd say this to a class, let's say this together. We are the light of the world, and mean it. Be highly intentional about, when you engage my eyes, you need to see Jesus. You will see Jesus. I can remember standing on a playa. It was 2008. I'd just taken over leadership of it. And the Lord speaking to me, he says, you know, Rob, you are the mothers and fathers of the playa. And the best thing you can do with God in those situations and saying, yes, I am a father and a mother of the playa. And I immediately kind of like spread the word to the team and nod your head, even if you don't get it, because this is a spiritual reality.
We are stepping into something here, and God's going to define it along the way.
Yeah, God's going to unpack it.
First thing that came to mind when you said that was, okay, you're the mother and father of the playa. There's a lot of prodigals out here, and they're all coming home to you.
It's a Malachi 4 situation.
And you're not going to wait for them to walk in the door. You're going to run to the end of the road and find them.
Yeah.
And bring them back with a fattened calf ready for dinner. God said, I'm giving you a place of honor and authority by saying you're the mothers, you're the fathers. What did that end up meaning for you, and what kind of situations came of that revelation?
Well, when God gives you a hefty title like that, it's best to go low and start small. So, Lord, what does that look like is the first question. But there's an event that happened, and I think it happened within a day or two of me making that statement to the team. Incidentally, our team is called Spirit Dream. A woman came in, let's call her Sally. Sally comes in and she was told about us, and she had her arm in a cast. She had broken her wrist the day before in her camp. Everybody in her camp was well aware of what she did, the pain she was suffering. So she was all casted up. She came in and she was seated with one of our group led by a friend of ours. We have playa names because everyone takes a playa name. His name is Hulk.
Hulk. And is he green?
Yeah. He may have been dressed green that year. I don't know. But we tend to wear the costumes of the culture.
So we're kind of doing spiritual cosplay here.
Yes, in a way. Yeah. Humor is a big part of Burning Man, too. It's the healthy part. So anyways, the team ended up praying for her. And the swelling goes down. The cast loose up. They're telling her, flex your wrists, lift it above your head, try things you haven't done before. She's healed. She goes home to her campmates. They're all rejoicing with her. They're all going, wow, amazing. We know that was broken.
Rewind. This girl comes in, and was she looking for healing, or she just came to you for another reason?
She probably came for a spiritual touch in some area, some kind of healing.
And the kind of spiritual touch that God decided to give her was a physical healing.
Right.
You're saying she was literally physically healed because of the prayers of your team at that point.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Jesus healed her on the spot.
I'm taking your word for it.
Yeah.
So Sally, the girl we're talking about, suddenly has an arm that's falling out of her cast because the swelling's gone.
Right. So she goes back to her teammates and showing all her range of motion, what she can do. They're all rejoicing with her, all really happy. She comes back, I think it was the next day, and now she wants, I got some heart healing problems. Not physical, but emotional problems.
Okay.
And so we do a lot of prayer ministry. We have a lot of people skilled in various aspects of inner healing and how can we bring Jesus into trauma and pain and various ills of life. So she gets great relief from that. She is a happy camper, you know, healed wrist and part of her heart's getting healed. Not ready to come to the Lord yet, but, you know, it takes numerous God touches before you should do something as serious as surrendering to the God of the universe. I really believe that. It's a serious choice to serve God. So, second God touch. A day or two later, one of our team members, Darren, goes and takes a walk, and he thought, oh, I'm going to go see Sally and just see how she's doing. She was just this kind of bright character that we liked. And he made his way to her theme camp with all the people that know about the healing. And she's working on trying to put together a bicycle. And so Darren comes along and, you know, puts together the bicycle, sets the chain in place. The bike's running fine. And she's just kind of looking at him and kind of with awe. And she says, you know, you guys are like the mothers and fathers of the playa.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. In these summer months, it can be a real challenge to connect with and support the ministries that you believe in. Since we're a 100% listener-supported radio ministry, we depend on consistent, faithful giving from our friends to make it through every season. And this summer, we really need you. If you believe in what we do, and you support the amazing work of the people we highlight each day, then we really need you to declare that with your prayers and generous gift today. Remember, there literally is no Compassion Radio unless you want it. We've been around for almost 75 years now, but we can't rest on our history, and we can't expect to always be around without your support. We do what we do, where we do it, when you send us. So thank you again for how you supported and prayed for us in the past. And we thank you for how you'll stand with us now to make sure we're here to inspire and challenge you today and in the years to come. Here's how you can do just that.
If you'd like to support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 right now or go to CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. If you'd like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So she gets great relief from that. She is a happy camper, you know, healed wrist and part of her heart's getting healed. Not ready to come to the Lord yet, but, you know, it takes numerous God touches before you should do something as serious as surrendering to the God of the universe. I really believe that. It's a serious choice to serve God. So, second God touch. A day or two later, one of our team members, Darren, goes and takes a walk, and he thought, oh, I'm going to go see Sally and just see how she's doing. She was just this kind of bright character that we liked. And he made his way to her theme camp with all the people that know about the healing. And she's working on trying to put together a bicycle. And so Darren comes along and, you know, puts together the bicycle, sets the chain in place. The bike's running fine. And she's just kind of looking at him and kind of with awe. And she says, you know, you guys are like the mothers and fathers of the playa. There's this curious thing about the culture will both prophesy the direction that you're going in with God or affirm it one way or the other. And that's something consistent we discovered when we're hanging on the edge, on the frontier of something. It's not the church so much that was prophesying to us before we left what we would be doing, but we discovered on the spot when we showed up. And it's very much like the times of Jesus. The revelatory information flow wasn't coming from the quote, spiritual ones in the high towers. It was coming from the common people.
And you were attuned to listen to what God wanted to tell you through any source that he would give you. And the voices on the playa are the ones that are the seekers. And a little popcorn, if you would, of truth and of revelation comes through the lips of somebody who has been touched by him, whether or not they realize that they're being prophetic and affirming a word. I like those kind of stories. Those are the ones that are easier for me to believe at the face of them, that God would nudge us, because I've felt that nudge. I also have had that experience in my own body where I've seen God literally physically heal me, but it was on the other side of being, as I would say, a disciple of Christ. So I feel like I somewhat am entitled to it because I'm one of his, so I can ask him for those things. But you're saying that God meets people where they are, affirms the thing he's doing in your heart. And I'm proud of you all for being willing to listen to him speak wherever he wants to speak, in whatever voice he wants to speak from. If he wants to get through to Balaam talking through his donkey, he can do that too. And I imagine there's plenty more of those kind of interesting spiritual encounters where God spoke in a really unique way. So maybe there's some things, Andrew, you could chime in here and say, what did you see in the years that you were involved that said, yeah, God's up to something here right now?
Oh, wow, that's sort of a loaded question, because God seems to be up to something every moment of the day out there. It's like this pressure cooker in more ways than one. Everything is accentuated out there. And so my 10 years there were really the most life-changing I've ever experienced. What impresses me is that you witness the creativity of God out there in how he will reach a person. how he will operate. You know, you just don't go out there and give the four spiritual laws, you know, in the Romans Road. He can reach a person however he wants to. And we have to be in a place spiritually where we are willing to let him challenge us in that way that is maybe outside of our paradigm, outside of our current understanding of how he might operate. There are no boxes with him out there. And that was a huge life-changing experience for me.
And then people might argue with you and say, but God has a system. This is the way he reaches people, because that's the way they were reached. And so we make that mistake, like talking about the love languages. Because I'm a person who loves to give gifts, that's how God speaks. We lose touch with the fact that God may have designed other people different ways, but that the same spirit is going to reach them in a personal way, whether we get it or not. But it seemed to me that the team you've been sending up to the Burning Man Festival has been well broadened in their spiritual gifts, in their personality types, in their love languages. And together in harmony and in community, you're able to identify those areas where God seems to be striking out and saying, I'm shining my light here. Go there and be ready. Assemble a bicycle. Be ready to hear my word for you by going out of the camp and not hiding behind your hedge and stepping out. What's the biggest takeaway, Andrea, that you've had in your 10 years about how God works?
How God works. The biggest takeaway for me as a person who grew up in the church. When I went to Burning Man for the first time, I didn't think I was judgmental.
Mm.
When I went there, I realized he exposed just how judgmental I was and how many prejudices I actually had towards these people. When you sit there in the dust year after year after year and you cry with these people and you hug these people and you hear their stories, you experience the love and the compassion of the Father towards them in a way that you just don't sitting in your living room at home. And that changes you.
What is different about Andrea Barather now than you would have seen yourself 10 years ago?
Most everything. I mean, yeah, I say that kind of facetiously, but before I went, I was in church world and I was in mommy world. I had never done outreach. I had never gone into that kind of culture before. And it was a total paradigm shift for me in how I viewed the people that are out there that are in need of him, how I operate and how I interact with them and how I allow my heart to be open as a conduit of the Father's love for them.
So you're more permissive of the Spirit in your own life.
Yeah, I always felt like I was permissive of the Spirit, but I didn't know the restrictions I had put within my own heart. So
we have a whole bunch of rules we bring to the game,
right?
Don't we? Rob, you're digging in your Bible now. You have a reason for that. What's God putting on your heart right now that you see in the Word?
I was thinking somehow to tag on about, we tend to get a new tool like four spiritual laws or Romans Road or whatever. And then we begin to enshrine them and we use them for 30 years and it becomes pretty obvious that they start to get a bit musty. They don't work as well. You can't always use those tools. And I think the point is God's trying to get across to us. I have this phrase, God is bigger than previously thought.
Than previously thought.
In other words, your brain's too small to contain God anyway. So it's a constant revelation, kind of like the angels in heaven. Holy, 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 God is bigger than previously thought. So one of my favorite scriptures is, I really believe that this is pertinent to today, Ephesians 3:10, to the intent now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And marginal reading of the manifold wisdom of God is the multicolored, polyvariegated. I have this picture of the throne room of God. You've got the rainbow and you've got these lights and colors shooting out and there's so much variety.
And
so
a crystal throne and everything else. Huh?
That's pretty much what we feel like we're on the frontiers of when you're at Burning Man, because everything is so chaotic and darkness, but God answers back with much more grace. And part of it is, wow, there's much more possibilities here than we've ever seen. And if we have a little bit of courage and a lot of humility, we invent tools left and right and leave them on the ground because we're waiting for what's Holy Spirit saying now. God, what are you saying?
Now, some of the tools and the mediums with which you communicate truth are very ephemeral. Because everything that ends up on the playa there is meant to be burned up. It's like the entire thing has a whole burnt offering paradigm going on with it. They literally burn the man at the end of the whole festival. And in some ways, it kind of echoes what we would read biblically as being an offering to Baal. where we burn up all we have and maybe we'll find favor with you, oh gods, if we do these things that are radical. And the same way, you bring art that could be consumed or be burnt up at the end of it, that you have to pack out if you don't leave it there to get burned up later. Things seem very temporary. At the same time, you all are marching in with an attitude towards the eternal, that what happens here has eternal consequence and eternal import, that the things that will come out of this will be eternal. They're not going away. God will bring life forever or will judge forever what happens here. And I've seen that this way you've talked about the ways you prepare for the time you spent at Burning Man, the way you respond to your experience at Burning Man, the way you pray throughout the year. If you could, just give me a contrast there between what seems temporary and but yet has the weight of eternity in it.
You know, the one we represent, he's the Ancient of Days. He's the Eternal One. So everything about us, you're correct in your perceptions, that they all leave it kind of nebulous. There is no definition of what it means to burn the man. It means whatever you want it to mean. We're obviously highly focused, highly intentional. And that statement about we are the light of the world, ergo, when we speak to you, as I'm looking in your eyes, this will have permanence. So one of our frequent references to God is the Spirit of Truth. Would you like to invite the Spirit of Truth into that area of your pain? Now, we're highly intentional about the Spirit of Truth. The audience listening may think, well, that's a bit nebulous. And I would go, no, it isn't. When you're highly intentional about God, there is so much spiritual weight. When those words leave your lips, Spirit of Truth, there is a deposit made in the human heart that is going to go far beyond their 1 week at the playa. It will literally haunt them in the best ways. We're really intentional about the permanence of what we do. And we're also intentional that salvation is a process. Some of these people are so invested in darkness. We make two or three eternal, we call them God touches, and we fully trust the Holy Spirit to build on it as they leave. If they didn't come to us, they maybe would not get a Christian at all to make even a stab in their witchcraft-strewn life or pagan-focused life. They've met the Spirit of God, and the grace of God gives them time to marinate in what they've got until the next God encounter comes.
I imagine you're praying over them the same way, that once they leave you, God, don't leave them there. Bring them on. Save them. You're saying, Spirit of God, pursue them. Bring them home to heaven someday. I know your heart's so, there.
Yeah. Sometimes we just literally, we call it sealing the encounter. We just hold their hand, look them in the eyes, and we go, what happened to you today has eternal effects, this profound effect. It will not leave you.
Or forsake you.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
There's a lot more of this great conversation coming up next time on Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms in Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800 866-248-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com. And when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.